Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, renovating basements to boost home value. Information at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, March 5th. I'm Abby Larico. The social media app TikTok is allowed in the U.S. for now, but content creators in Missouri are trying to adapt to an uncertain future.
I love Missouri, but it's just outside of the internet. It's very difficult to find opportunities if that's the kind of thing you want to pursue.
We'll hear from some people who rely on the platform professionally, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The general election for the mayor of St. Louis is a rematch. Incumbent Tashara Jones and 8th Ward Alderwoman Kara Spencer were the top two vote-getters in yesterday's primary, according to final unofficial results. This time, though, fewer people approved of Jones compared to Spencer. The mayor received less than 12,000 votes, and Spencer received nearly twice that many. Turnout was below 18%. Jones narrowly beat out Spencer in 2021 for the city's top job, but in this primary, Spencer received by far the most votes of all four candidates, which she says is a signal that St. Louis residents want more responsive and better functioning services.
We're not better off than we were 4 years ago in many, many very visible ways.
Jones told her supporters gathered at a Midtown Union Hall that she's grateful for the chance to work for another 4 years to heal deep problems in the city.
Dealing with the legacy of structural racism and redlining is hard work. And my opponent has shown time and time again that when the going gets tough, she gives up. She gets going.
Recorder of Deeds Michael Butler was third. Retired utility executive Andrew Jones finished fourth. And longtime St. Louis comptroller Darlene Green has advanced to the general election. It's where she'll face former alderwoman and state representative Donna Behringer. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports on that race.
Behringer received nearly 17,000 votes, about 500 more than Green. Accountant Celeste Metcalf came in third. Green, who's seeking her 8th full term overseeing the city's budget, says she's got great momentum going forward into the general election. Behringer says the results send a clear message. The comptroller's office is important, and it's time for change. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
It proved to be a good night for incumbents on the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. There were just two contested races, the 3rd Ward in the southeast and the 11th Ward in North Central. In the 3rd, longtime Alderman Shane Cohn and Dallas Adams finished 1st and 2nd, respectively, and will move on to the April election. Inez Bordeaux came in 3rd. In the 11th Ward, incumbent Laura Keyes and challenger Rebecca McLeod will both move on. Keyes was 1st, McLeod finished 2nd, and Melinda Long was 3rd. The St. Louis general election is April 8th. The St. Louis Civil Service Commission is recommending that Mayor Tashara Jones fire Personnel Director Sonia Jenkins Gray following an unprecedented months-long hearing on the issue. STLPR's Chad Davis reports.
The recommendation stems from a June incident where Jenkins Gray went to Jefferson City in a city vehicle driven by a subordinate. Jenkins Gray said she went to get some personal documents and said she didn't know she was breaking city policy and paid the city back $170. Lawyers hired by the city argued she engaged in malfeasance. The commission said while the drive could amount to a lesser punishment, they criticized her for roping in a subordinate. Jenkins Gray's lawyers had argued that Jones targeted her for political reasons, including her objection to a Jones-endorsed charter proposal that would give the mayor more control over the personnel department. A spokesperson for the mayor says she'll review the documents and could make a decision by early next week. Jenkins Gray's husband, the Reverend Darrell Gray, said their attorneys were reviewing the documents. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
President Trump addressed Congress and the nation last night, and Missouri and Illinois lawmakers are responding along party lines. Missouri Republican U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt released a statement praising the president for delivering on his promises. Representative Mike Bost of Illinois similarly applauded the president's America First messaging. Democrats protested during the speech with signs, shouts, and walkouts, and afterward, Illinois Senators Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin criticized the recent slashing of government jobs. They joined Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski in calling for more action to instead cut the price of groceries. The speech lasted more than 90 minutes. It's the longest address to Congress in 60 years. TikTok is available to download on app stores again, about a month after President Donald Trump paused the legislation that banned it. But content creators and digital marketing strategists are still adjusting to the uncertain future of an app that 170 million Americans use every day. Caitlin McElwain has more about how Missourians are making do, especially the ones whose careers depend, at least somewhat, on TikTok's survival.
I think we can all agree we are well overdue for a female president, right?
Right? Throughout his time as a University of Missouri student, Xander Kerber has performed stand-up comedy at Mort's, a restaurant in MU's student center. When he graduates in May, he plans to go to New York to start a career in live performance. But until then, TikTok has become a place for Kerber to develop his skills and build a following, around 200,000 followers to be exact. But he says his live shows don't build audience the same way TikTok does.
I love Missouri, but it's just outside of the internet, it's very difficult to find opportunities if that's the kind of thing you want to pursue. So I've found social media to kind of be, in a way, like my saving grace.
But when TikTok's ban briefly took effect in January, it devastated Kerber. Because he doesn't live on the coasts, he feels TikTok levels the playing field.
I was a little worried that that would go away and sort of this small thing I might be able to use to propel into something larger in terms of like a career in the industry or whatever after graduation was no longer there.
What your style of water bottle makes me think about you, part two. Do you have a Stanley Cup?
Connor Clary felt a similar sense of loss when the app was banned. He recently moved to New Orleans, but while he lived in Kansas City, he became a TikTok content creator and says earnings from his videos became about a third of his income. Some months he makes $500 on the app, and in others, his videos net around $6,000.
That's been my full-time job for the last year, and it's paid more than I made in my previous job. And so it is like a real job, right? It's not just like fun money on the side.
Even though TikTok is back for now, digital marketing companies are advising their clients to diversify their platforms. Brad Stewart is the director of influencer marketing at Division D, a Columbia digital media firm. He says even before the TikTok ban, he was preaching adaptability.
We really just advise clients like, well, let's have a backup plan in place. Let's start considering, you know, where else you want to be, how else we can reach your audience for you.
Sarah Garish is a senior director of influencer and creator marketing at Movers and Shakers, another digital media consultancy. She says TikTok stands out because of how it compensates its users and the precision of its algorithm.
We're only going to be able to go to so many places, right? So if Gen Z is choosing between Instagram and TikTok, they're still going to TikTok over Instagram.
Clary has adapted himself. In addition to posting on TikTok, he posts content on Instagram and YouTube, where he makes and sells pottery. But even with these other revenue streams, the political theater surrounding the ban frustrates him.
The politicians are playing hot potato with it because they realize that it's unpopular and no one wants to be the one to ban it, but someone's going to have to because the legislation still exists.
President Trump's pause on the TikTok ban is slated to last until April. It's uncertain if the app's creator, ByteDance, will divest from Chinese ownership.
Take that feeling, prolong it over 248 years, that's America.
In the meantime, Kerber says he'll continue doing stand-up until he graduates and tries to build his audience in person in New York. I'm Caitlin McElwain.
That story comes to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.